Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey guys, this is Mike with BeastNet. I'm here with Kim and Nick. We're doing another Beast Report. So Kim, I'm going to let you go ahead and take the reins and run with it.
Great. All righty. Well, welcome, Nick. This is going to be great. Nick is one of our ambassadors, and he's done a great job this year with the Beast workouts and just being one of the faces of our team, helping people out. He's just made a spectacular ambassador and lucky to have him with us. So we wanted to go through and just have you introduce yourself a little bit and then maybe ask you some of the Beast Report questions. Get to know a little more about you, Nick.
All right. Well, my name is Nick Thompson. Been a member of Beast OCR for about a year and a half now. Jumped right on in and started workouts only about 4 months after joining Beast OCR. One of the things I told Adam as soon as he involved me, whatever I can get away with doing, I'm going to go ahead and run with. And he supported me every step of the way.
So. Great. Well, why don't we just jump in then, and we'll get going on the questions here and get to know more about you.
What
was your first OCR race, and what made you decide to try it?
All right, my first East OCR, or not East OCR, OCR race was Survivor Mud Run 2015. I come across a Facebook ad, and it looked real interesting to me. I'd been kind of floundering, trying to find something new in my life. I kind of quit some of the sports I'd been playing, some of the leagues I'd been part of. I'm just looking for something different because whatever I was doing wasn't fulfilling. And it looked really interesting. I conned a friend, his wife, and their daughter to come join me and my daughter. And we hit over at was it Carnation, I believe it was at that year.
And it was at Remlinger Farms. I probably gave you your medal.
Yeah. That's possible.
I volunteered that day and handed out medals.
There we go. Yeah, I rolled in the mud like a pig in the slop all day. Had like the biggest grin possible, and then I just dried off, and I looked like a human statue because everything just coated to me. And I love that venue because afterwards we just went over and we swam in the river right next to it, cleaned ourselves up before going home. I finished that, and I was like, okay, this can't be the only thing out here. And, you know, next thing over to Warrior Dash and then into Spartan, and it just rolled out from there.
That's great. How has OCR helped you to overcome challenges?
Biggest challenges for me is I'm a real quiet and reserved person when I'm around people I don't. So if you're part of the OCR world, you learn real quickly that you got to be everybody, especially if you do an event, say, Tough Mudder or whatnot. Or like most of the obstacles aren't designed to do by yourself. Well, you don't have time to sit there and kind of pussyfoot around. Whoever you're there with is now your new best friend, and you get to know each other real fast. And as it goes along, you know, you hit an 8-foot wall and you can't get over. You know, you look to the person next to you. If they can't get over, all of a sudden, here, I got you, you got me. Shake hands, give a hug, high five, whatever, and move on. You just became friends with that person, even if it's only for that microcosm, you know. So that for me is like the biggest thing that it's done for me. Honestly, like I have so many people that I don't know that if I had ever ran into them on the street outside of this world, I probably would have never said two words to them. I would have just gone about my own business, focused on whatever it was I was doing. But in this, I can't even tell you how many hugs I have to give out at like every event. Just walk up and all of a sudden there's somebody I know and they're hugging me and I'm hugging them and it's, you know, we're a giant family.
That's the best.
It is.
Yeah, it's amazing how just people, everybody bonds and you're from all walks of life and it's just a great community.
Oh yeah, I look at a lot of these people where I'm sure their interest in what they do in life outside of this world, we would never run into each other. But because we have this one thing in common, you know, I now know you, and now we're spending holidays together, we're doing dinners together, and all these things that would have never happened if it wasn't because of this.
Exactly. It's amazing. Well, this might kind of lead into the next one, is what do you love most about the OCR community?
Well, kind of go back to the last question. It's the community itself. I mean, I don't think I've met anybody in the OCR world that I haven't enjoyed. You know, where, again, if it was outside of the OCR, we might have different political opinions. We might have different ways of having and raising a family or religious beliefs or whatever. But in the OCR world itself, none of that matters. We all have the same common goal, I guess, is to show up, test ourselves, and overcome. And that's all that matters. So when I'm there and you're there, I might not know anything other than we're doing the exact same thing together. And that's more than enough.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, like, who inspires you? Do you have someone that you think of, you know, right away that really inspires you, or a few people?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, it was always, you know, you look up to an actor or a musician or something like that.
Right.
And now it's the everyday person. Look at our own Beast OCR members. I mean, how many inspirational stories are just in our close-knit group? I guess it's not really so close-knit now that we got, what, over 2,100 members. Can't believe how fast we're growing. But take Mike, for example. You know, if for nothing else, him conquering the marathon last year,
yeah,
you know, before he's 40 years old, set himself a goal, and he accomplished it. You know,
it wasn't pretty, but I accomplished it.
Hey, you crossed that finish line. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It gets brought up repeatedly because of, you know, everyone that went to Montana a couple of years back, we'll talk about Virginia's overcoming with her crutches up and down those mountains. And there's a story I always told was, that was my first beast, and I did it with a friend of mine who had been through 5 back surgeries. He has 3 fusions in his back. He's got asthma, and he was struggling bad. We were averaging, I think, around 45-minute miles that day, and they were started cutting people off at mile 8. If you didn't reach mile 8 by this time, they were going to cut you off, be off the course, and we had just crossed mile 8, and we were just on the other side, and they were trying to call us back. And I kept pushing him forward. Like, let's keep going. Let's just keep going. He's like, oh, man, I want to quit. I want to quit. And then we round the corner somewhere between 8 and 9, and we come across Virginia, who's doing it on crutches. And he's like, okay, well, now I can't quit. If she's on crutches, I'm still going, I have to go. You know, so, I mean, my buddy, with overcoming all of his things, Virginia, I mean, Casey McAllister is one of the best examples. You know, double MT, and there's nothing in this world that's going to stop that guy from doing what he wants to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he's amazing.
You don't have to look past, you know, just the people that you're with in Beast OCR to find enough inspiration to last more than 5 times. So
true. Oh, great. Let's see. So what is your favorite OCR memory?
Well, that's real simple for me. Yeah. It just happened. Yeah. I got married at the Portland Sprint, and I got to do it with, you know, Kim's family being there. I got to do it with some of my best friends. I got to do it with my Beast OCR family, you know, and it was something that just fell into place. We got married on August 11th, and that's my birthday. And we already planned on getting married in 2018 on my birthday because it was 10 years to the day that we had actually met. So it was already set in stone. And then towards the end of 2017, Spartan puts up their new race list for the next year, and I see Portland Sprint on the wedding day. I was like, okay, babe, can we? And her immediate reaction is, no, that's not happening. And I don't argue, but I also don't drop it and give it a little time. Don't hound her, because if I immediately hound her, she's just going to dig her feet in, and that's the end of the story.
Right.
And next thing you know, she's talked to Josie about it and whatnot, and Josie's like, I think that's a great idea. And then she comes back to me and she's like, well, I would be all for it, but my bridesmaids aren't going to want to do that. I said, okay. So, you know, we have her friends over one night, and then Kim's off doing something, and I drag all of her friends that are supposed to be the bridesmaids off, and we do our own little thing, and I tell them what I want to do, you know, and by my own excitement, I calm them all into wanting to do it with us.
I went back to her.
It's like, okay, well, all your bridesmaids agreed to do it. And then again, it was a no. And then, like, she started coming around and, like, started making suggestions about it. She's like, well, I just don't know how we can make it work. I'm like, well, think about it. It's a Spartan race, so they already have food vendors there, so we don't have to cater nothing. And they have their own photographers, so we don't have to hire a photographer. And, you know, there's beer vendors, so we don't have to provide alcohol. I mean, like, this can be as cheap as we could ever have a wedding. You know?
Right. And everything's there.
And I explained to her, and I said, she knows me, and I really don't have family. I mean, I've got plenty of people that I'm related to, but I don't have family. My family has been two or three people outside of me and Yosh for about 20 years until I met all the people in Beast OCR. I said, Beast OCR is now my family. I spend holidays with these people. You know, we do things together. We go on adventures. We travel. I said, they're all going to be there. And I really don't want to put people in a situation where they feel torn between doing what they want to do and then doing something for me. And she finally caved, and there we go. We showed up, and yeah, I mean, we had Heather Roque made our cake for us. I knew she planned on making a cake because she seems to bring one to every event.
Oh,
and
yes,
she went above and beyond. I mean, I couldn't believe, like, how amazing that looked. And she put so much into that, you know. And we had, I won't forget her name, but one of our BSOCR members from Portland, she was our photographer for the event. When we started thinking about who we wanted to get married, we both, like, immediately came up with Ted Kelly. And so hitting him up when he came and stayed with us at our house in April, kind of brought it up to him. And, like, he was over the moon, just the idea of it. And I can't explain how perfect that day was. And it all involved this OCR world. So, yeah, I mean, that's hands down my favorite OCR memory, period. I mean, it can't be overcome.
Oh, I bet. That was amazing. I mean, like you said, the cake, the pictures, there are pictures of you two on the cake even. And Ted. Yeah, oh, I love it. That was amazing. And then Ted, you know, ministering it. I mean, that was so cool.
We went out to dinner the night before to rehearse, and he had, like, pages of things he wanted to say, and I was like, I can't believe he's put this much into it. I mean, it meant the world to us that he was just as invested, if not more, than what we were. So, I mean, yeah, we really couldn't have asked more from anybody. And he, you know, he ran with it better than I think if we hired a professional. So,
thank you, Ted. Yeah, you can tell how honored he was, you know. It was great. And I love, too, when you guys got to towards the end and you were at the monkey bars. And you all lined up on all of the pedestals there. That was perfect. There was exactly one for each of you. It couldn't have been better.
We planned it that way, sure.
That was perfect.
My regret for that day was Adam. he was running the hurricane heat that night, and he actually had something planned for everyone that was doing the hurricane heat that they were going to do for us, but we've been running so far behind because we had, you know, a lot of the people that were a part of our wedding party, it was their very first running event, let alone OCR. So they weren't in the best of shape. We were running close to an hour a mile, and we were literally the last people off the course. And I tried to get everybody to come back to where the hurricane heaters were, and nobody wanted to get any further than they had to at that point. So thank you. I still have no idea what he had planned for us, but, you know, I'm sorry it didn't happen.
Oh, gosh. Well, and you were all dressed for a wedding, too, and you actually did entire race dressed for the wedding. I love that. So
I made
sure
that a requirement.
I
told everybody, I said, listen, you're going to have to buy a tux. You can get them like $60 on Amazon, but we are all, if you're a part of the wedding party, you're doing it in a tux, or you're not part of the wedding party. That's, you know, end of story. We're not fighting about this. And everybody showed up in a tux, except for my buddy D showed up with a tux that he had just gotten off Amazon. He had never even tried before, and it was for, like, a bigger youth. And Daryl is, he's about 6'3". He's a couple hundred pounds. And so it wasn't even, like, a half mile into the race when he split from crotch, you know, basically from the button all the way to the belt loop in the back. And, of course, he's wearing white underwear on a black tux. And so, yeah, it showed real well the entire race.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't take him anywhere.
Memories, yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. And then your beautiful wife started in her white dress. But by the time you made it back, it wasn't quite white. No.
It started that way.
Yes. Oh, that was wonderful.
No, one of the first things she said to me after we crossed the finish line, I hope you know this is my last race. So.
Oh, no.
You know? But she did it for me.
Well, you could always work on her for the anniversary race next year.
No, like, she'll go do a bubble run with me, or she'll go do the Stein Dash, something like that. But as far as, like, an OCR, no. She's got knee problems. She had knee surgery years ago. She's got fibromyalgia. She's got enough problems that, you know, it's just not for her.
Right. Well, that was...
And she was really distanced from everything when I first started doing this. And then the more I became involved with things, the more she kept feeling alienated, and I had to keep, like, telling her, just come join us, just show up. You don't have to run. You don't have to do that. All these people are amazing. I know you hear about these people all the time. You don't know any of them, and so there's kind of a rift there. But the moment she started showing up, she'd come into the events, come into the workouts, you know, taking pictures for us, all this other stuff. All of a sudden, she's part of the family, and she feels like she's part of the family, and so she's been behind me, pushing me even more and more as we go along now, because she now gets it. She now understands.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. And then the ceremony itself afterwards, it was beautiful. It was so perfect.
Oh,
you know, right by the tree and the grassy area.
Yeah. I was so shocked that how many beasts had just hung around just waiting on us. I knew we were running late, and we were probably like 2 hours longer than what we should have been. But, yeah, we still had so many people just there hanging out, just waiting on us. And I was like, see, and this is why I wanted to do it here. Everybody else would have gone home, you know. But, yeah, no, for me, it was a perfect day. Everything went exactly the way I hoped it would. I don't think we have any, you know, anything that we could have changed or would want to change. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Best event ever.
That was a special day for sure. My goodness sakes. Well, let's see. So, how about tell us something about yourself that few people know, and it could be OCR related or something completely different.
I know when we did the written form, you know, I gave you an answer and whatnot, and I'm going to kind of change course from that, and I'm going to go to something a little more personal.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's real simple. Is my dad was an alcoholic, drug-dealing, drug-addict, abusive man. And my mom was an abusive alcoholic drug addict who found that she could get her drugs for free by hooking up with my dad. And that's how I was born. So two very cantankerous people that should have never been in a relationship with anybody, you know, get into a relationship and have a kid that they should have never had. And it was horrible. You know, there was, you know, my dad beating on my mom or beating on me. One of my first memories is my mom throwing me in the car out of our trailer home and taking off. And my dad chasing out of the trailer home, throwing a brick into the car, which hit me in the face. And that's how my childhood grew up until I was 12 years old. I ran away from home at 12. And, you know, I wasn't in a good place from 12 all the way up and probably till 32, but I mean, for the main part, into my mid-20s. And so 16, 17, I got in a real bad place, homeless. You know, I actually had a friend. I would sneak into his garage attic at night, and he would come up. He would ask for seconds at dinner and bring it up, and I would literally be eating food that came from his pocket, covered in pocket lint. And I didn't see anything beyond that. And, you know, so, you know, what do you do when you have nothing? You are nothing. You know, you turn and your family's full of addicts, so you become an addict. I did drugs. I did alcohol. And twice I purposely OD'd between 16 and 17 because I didn't want to live no more. And then, you know, luckily for me, both times I got found unconscious, and somebody rushed me to the hospital, and I recovered. Then I got to the age of 19, and kind of the same thing. I ended up slitting my wrist, and for the third time, made that attempt. And that version of me, that 12-year-old, all the way up until 19, when I saw myself as nothing, I couldn't imagine where my life is today. You know, and life where it is today is so far beyond what I could have even imagined, that from my children to my wife to our family, our community, the house I live in, from a guy that lived in a single wide trailer growing up to where I live now. You know, I had to go have dinner at Frank Sinatra's house, cooked for me by one of my idols. And that whole concept, it was so foreign that I still have trouble believing that that actually happened. And wow. So if anybody that's listening, if anybody's going through stuff where you can't see how good things can be, reach out to somebody and talk to somebody, because I didn't have that. It wasn't until when my daughter was born that I stopped worrying about how bad my life was and started worrying about how good I can make her life. You know, it kind of gave me a purpose. Kind of growing up in what I'd gone through as a kid and as a teenager and whatnot, I didn't want my child to have that, and I didn't want to leave her with that. So, you know, I had to change a bit. So, you know, again, if you're listening and you go down that road, you know, if you got nobody else to reach out to, reach out to me, because I've been there, I've done it, I can speak with in ways that other people won't be able to. So, yeah, if you didn't know that about me, I tried to end my life 3 times before I was 20 years old. So that is something you didn't know, not everybody knows.
Wow, and look at your life now. I mean, you've come such a long way. I mean, my goodness, complete turnaround, yeah.
1,000%. Yeah, I have a great career. I've got a great, you know, friends, I've got a great family. From where I started to where I'm at, and it only gets better day by day. It's amazing how things can change that you could never picture when you're in a dark place.
And you have just risen above it so well. I mean, you're such a good father and such a good husband and such a great friend to everybody. I mean, you know, you didn't let what happened to you affect you so negatively that you can't overcome that. You know, you're just a great all-around person, and you're really good to people. I mean, you know, it's
I tried.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely do, you know. And it had to take, you know, like Spartan talks about grit, and the grit that it would take to overcome this and be the person you are today is just really, really inspiring.
Well, it's hard for me to take a compliment, but that's probably one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So true. So I guess going on, what are your goals? I mean, the year is short for the rest of this year and maybe for next year upcoming.
I haven't even thought about next year yet. Plans have kind of changed for next year so far. If anybody that's kind of paid attention to what's gone on with Kim and I over the last, you know, week, we had another child on the way that we were expecting at the beginning of the year. So starting 2019 with, you know, a newborn and a child that's under the age of one, that's kind of where my focus was for the year. It was going to kind of be more of a step back role and more of helping the wife out with the family. She's already I had to cut back my races this year. I didn't really travel outside of like Montana, Oregon, and Washington. You know, the years before it was, you know, California, it was Arizona, Nevada, you know. It's like, well, we have a newborn on the way, and we should be home more, so we'll stay home more. Now we have another kid on the way, and they're like, but yeah, we had bad news, and Kim ended up losing the child just before it was 5 months into the pregnancy. And so as far as next year goes, that's, you know, that's yet to be really thought of. This year was more of it was more lifestyle changes. I've worked real hard at you know, changing my food intake, my liquid intake. I cut back on drinking for the most part. I come from a family of alcoholics. My great-grandfather walked out of a bar drunk, got ran over and killed. My grandmother bought a bar and drank herself out of business. My dad, he literally drank himself onto his deathbed.
And wow.
I just kind of fallen in the footsteps. And over the last few years, especially being part of the OCR world, is the people I used to hang out with, their lives were in a bar. And now the people I am around it all the time, we might stop in a bar long enough to maybe grab a beer two or three times out of the year. Outside of that, it's the things I do and the people I'm around. It's not part of their life, so it's no longer become part of my life. I've gotten a bunch of old friends like, oh, we never hang out anymore. I'm like, well, because you saw I was going hiking this weekend, and you saw I was doing a race over here, and you saw I was running a workout, and you saw I was doing an OCR event, and I invited you to all that, and you just blew me off, and then you say you never see me. Well, I mean, I'm busy, I'm doing things, and I'm happy, and you should be happy that I'm happy, but it kind of makes a rift in there, and... We started a few programs for BCOCR this year with our support local races, and so, you know, I focused on that. We had to do at least 6 local races, you know, so no Spartan, no Tough Mudder, no, you know, none of the big stuff. And I found all these places like Evergreen Trail Runs, something like that. I've been doing on that to support our local races, and we did a program for Beast for a Cause, and Beast for a Cause, kind of same thing, 6 events and 6 charitable events. So it was, you know, volunteering time, trail building. I did my first Bill Rucks this year. What else? planting trees and whatnot. So yeah, my goals were before 2017 more like doing the 1,000-mile challenge, the 52 hike challenge, stuff like that. And this year it's kind of been more focused on what the SOCR has been focused on. So, you know, if we're doing the taco run or the carry, you know, all those events.
Yeah.
I don't always read the instructions well, and so I have to do the bucket event multiple times because I don't put in the proper weight, you know. So learn my lesson the hard way. I was so proud when I finished that. You know, I put my bucket up on a scale, and it's nice and bright, 49 pounds, and I was like, yep, and then go run out and come back and read the fine print. So, it's supposed to be 75 pounds.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I took a bucket and I filled it full of gravel, filled it to the top, and I figured that was good enough. And then I didn't realize it was a weight requirement. So I come back home and I got to walk another mile with this bucket.
Oh, man. It's like I thought I had it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, and another thing that you have really stepped up is the Beast Workouts up there. You've done so much with that. I mean, you know, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been something I've really dove into. I've gotten, like, real personal with it for myself because I'm literally learning on the fly here. You know, I'm not like Elise or Jesse or any of those people, you know, that are way more qualified to do this. You know, I think of somebody like James Tingo or Brandon Chen. It's like all these people that are way more qualified to be leading people than what I'm doing. And so I'm kind of spending up nights. I've never worked, say, with like a dead ball before this year. I didn't even know what a dead ball was. I was like, okay, well, I saw one used at one of the Beast Workouts in Seattle, so let's see if I can get my hands on a couple dead balls. What do I do with this? And so now I'm learning. I'm on pages from people that are in Australia and type of workouts they do down there. I'm on Brute Force. I'm, you know, literally learning how to work with this stuff myself. And then it's like, okay, well, yeah, I can do workouts with it, but how do I put this together to make it into a fun routine, you know? I don't want just to marry and, you know, PT people into the ground. It's let's do things, let's play some games. How does this all work out? And it's actually been a lot of fun. We've had problems with attendance over the last couple months, so we ended up canceling August because we couldn't even get coaches there. And same thing for last month. I ended up being the only person at the workout, but you know, it's like I'll make this workout my own. Yeah, and then you know this month's workout, Jessica ran for me because I was in the hospital with Kim, and you know she is just killing it. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, but you know next year Jessica is going to be running workouts up in Bellingham. So she's been helping out with me coaching and whatnot down in Marysville, and that woman, she is a leader. Let me tell you, I kind of like, all right, I'm just going to kind of step back and let her do this right here. Because, yeah, if anybody's seen her transformation just over the last couple months, her preparing for her Ironman challenge, wow. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
She's quite intimidating, but she's so awesome.
Oh, definitely. And,
getting ready for winter months, and again, I'm going to be sitting down learning more on the fly on different things. We did a lot of fun events last year in the snow, and I'm hoping we get a lot more snow this year. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, great. Well, I think those are all the questions I have offhand. Is there anything else offhand you'd like to share?
No, I've been about as open as I feel like getting tonight. So.
Yeah, no, you really opened up, and boy, just so impressed with all you've done and overcome, and just what a great person you are, and you people look up to you, and you know, it's just been awesome.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
And yeah. So, how about Mike? Do you have any questions?
Not that I can think of. I mean, this was fun for me because honestly, this is like one of the first times I've actually been able to sit back and like listen to one of the podcasts go.
I kind of forgot you were here for a bit.
Yeah, I kind of forgot. I felt like I was just listening to a podcast, not actually supposed to be recording one, all that fun stuff. But I agree with Kim. I mean, you're an amazing person. You're great. The workouts that you do, I've been lucky enough to get to know your family. I actually have not met your wife in person yet. I've only, like, talked to her on Facebook and everything else. Somehow we've never met. Apparently we have friends that are the same, though. So
yeah.
My boss, I think, used to... She used to watch my boss's kids or something. I don't remember. But, yeah.
See, it's a small world.
Yeah. It is. And then one of my niece's best friends that I've known since she was a teenager, Holly Peck, knows your wife. So I was like, oh, wow. So small world. But you have an amazing family.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'd like to say that, you know, they're awesome on their own, so.
They are. I mean, Yoshi's amazing. I mean, I've been lucky enough. I got lucky in Seattle to give, you know, Yoshi her medal when you guys finished last because they didn't let you guys start until like an hour after everybody else. But
yeah, the last race went at 1:30 and we didn't get to start until 3:30.
And it was one of those days. It was amazing for me because I can remember that day because I was sitting there and I was like thinking, I'm like, where's Nick and Yoshi? And then all of a sudden they're like, well, we know there's three people still out on the course. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's where Dick and Yoshi are.
Well, they didn't want us to go. They're like, oh, it's too late. I'm like, this is literally the only super that these girls have on their docket for the entire year. They have to have this to have their trifecta. It's not our fault we didn't pull them off the course. You know, because they were volunteering. And the station that they were volunteering at, somebody had fractured an ankle earlier. And so they didn't have enough volunteers to show up for the afternoon to pull them off the course. And so I literally had to throw a tantrum to get my damn girls off the course because we need to go run this event. And, you know, it was miserable. The course could not have been worse when we started, and it downpoured nonstop from the moment we started till the time we finished. It couldn't have been more miserable because they'd been out there standing in that rain since 5:30 in the morning, and we didn't get off the course till almost 8 o'clock at night. And Hammond and them were literally tearing the course down as we're going, which was more deflating to their morale than I think than what the weather was. But we got there, you know, we had no other photographer there outside of you. I think, was that you taking the picture or was it your phone?
It was my phone. I handed it to Eric Reeves, I think. And I was like, Reevesman. I was like, here, there's no photographer here. Get as many pictures with my phone as you can. Just take pictures for me.
He actually walked like the last 2 miles with us because he was one of the volunteers at the A-frame, and he saw it was us, and he's like, I'm just going to go with you guys. So, and that guy is awesome. I just met him, I want to say, about 6 months ago, and I am so glad to meet that guy. He is such a great person, and he has one of the biggest hearts I think I've ever met. So
He does. I need to get him on the podcast and talk to him and hear his story.
Absolutely.
And one of these days, I want to get up there and get into one of your workouts, and I need to get you down here one day to get to one of mine. So,
you got the whole obstacle thing and whatnot set up?
Yep, and we're actually, this weekend, we're adding a Z-wall.
So, because we've got a couple walls, we've got the Olympus, we're working on the final rig. I think I've come up with the final plans to be able to get that finished so that we'll end up with monkey bars and a rig, you know, set up. So we're trying to get as much stuff as we can down here, but it's kind of one of those things. We're having the same issue that you are with, like, attendance. I think we had 3 people here the last couple of times, and it's like we have all sorts of cool stuff here. So.
Oh, I know. No, I mean, we've had up to 15 people at the workouts, but we've also had as little as 3 people. I mean, yeah. I'm not counting last month by myself. That was one where it was literally the only Saturday I had off to put on the workout that month, and everybody had said beforehand that they couldn't be there. And I was like, well, we're still doing a beast event, period.
Yeah.
And it was great because I got to do the Beast 5K myself. I got to do it my own way. I incorporated our Charity Challenges event into our Beast 5K. You know, it killed my time on it, but, you know, it was a lot of fun, made it my own, and it's like, I got to get out and do this, so.
Oh, yeah, and I know we do. It almost seems like me and you do a lot of the same things, just, like, 2 hours apart.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stuff, and I know you do a lot of hikes and everything up there. I'm trying to get more people to do hikes down here. I mean, it's just like, we're, you know, you've got the beard, I've got the hair, so.
There we go. I'd almost trained you. I miss having hair. I used to have it down past my shoulders, and then at like 21, it started falling out. So then I bleached it blonde so I can get an extra year and a half out of it before then too much hair fell out.
Yeah.
And that's like, why I hate shaving, so I'm only shaving. Go ahead.
Honestly, I've always told Amber, if I get to a point where I have a 5 head or a 6 head, just shave it in my sleep. So, I mean, I have a brother who has like a 7 head. I mean, it's like, it's halfway to back, you know, and he still has hair that's like halfway down his back. I'm like, dude, you've lost. Just deal with it.
Yeah. My buddy Josh, he blames me for him being bald because years ago we had a dart league that we were a part of, and we always did weird things for our dart team, and I made us shave or grow our hair out and shave skullets. Well, once he shaved the top of his head, you know, all that he shaved never grew back. So you're never quite forgiven.
See, it's one of those, like, my older brother, who's just a couple years older than me, his hair, he was bald by 25.
Yeah.
And he's like, my brothers don't get it. Like, he was bald by 25. My one brother, he's like 50, and his hair is like, his hairline's halfway to the back of his head. But then there's me who, for whatever reason, don't have that. I'm like the only one that got my dad's hairline, where my dad's 85, and yeah. He still has the same hairline he had at 21. So, yeah. So, yeah, I've got to get up there one day and get some of your workouts and get, you know, your family down here, and that way I can meet your lovely wife and, you know.
We'll have you come up for one of the workouts, and then they'll just come over to the house for dinner afterwards, make a day out of it.
Yeah. Hey, we should
talk. We could come crawl in the hot tub. We'll build a fire. It'll be a blast.
Nice. I can come do that at yours once, and then you should come down and do that at one of mine once. I made tonight for dinner, I made chorizo biscuits and gravy, and I made it all from scratch. The gravy, the chorizo, the biscuits, everything.
Perfect.
That was so good. So, I mean, I can't think of anything else. Like I said, I mean, I've definitely enjoyed my time that I got to spend with you out on the course and, you know, at different events. So, and
yeah,
I look forward to
you run
more.
A course with me one time. You're one of the only people I haven't actually ran the course with.
My thing is, it's one of the things that I keep saying, I need to figure out what's going wrong with my body. I was at the doctor today, and I think they want me to go see a dietitian because even working out, everything I've been doing, I'm the biggest I've ever been.
Yeah.
And my doctor tested my heart, my lungs, everything's in great shape. But for whatever reason, I'm swimming 3 times a week, working out, watching my diet. I'm still gaining and not losing. So I'm hoping. I'm hoping that, like, a dietitian, seeing a dietitian and working on some things that I can start dropping that, because I need to do something before next year, because it's gotten to that point. I'm heavy enough now that it's affecting my breathing. Like, I'm getting, out of breath almost instantly because I'm so big. And my doctor even checked. She's like, your lungs are fine. So it's not. She's like, everything you're having issues with is because of how big you are now. You need to do something. So yeah, that's my goal for next year. I want to get back into the shape I should be so that I can start actually running these again rather than just finishing them.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Like, if we go back to the summer when I was training to do Ragnar, I got the fastest I've ever been, and I'm still the heaviest I've ever been. And it becomes frustrating at a certain point. It's like, I can't work this hard, and I feel that I'm healthier. You know, I'm working harder. I'm eating healthier. I'm sleeping longer. I'm doing everything that I should be doing. I ask for advice. I don't have a problem with asking people for advice on what I need to do. And I'm still, like, going the exact opposite of where I feel I should be.
Yeah. You know?
I should be able to go out and run 20 miles and then come home and put on 7 pounds. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I'm at that problem now of just trying to figure out. And, I mean, I don't know if it's because of my age, because I'm over 40 now or what, but, you know, it's – I did the terrain races last weekend up in Vancouver, and we made it maybe 100 yards in, and I couldn't breathe. And now my buddy Don's looking at me going, do you have your inhaler? And I'm like, no, I haven't needed it in years. But, you know, it's at that point that, I mean, you know, 100 yards in, I couldn't breathe. And I've been swimming 3 times a week, and I can barely make one lap before I have to stop and take a breath. And I'm like, if I'm going to do, you know, a triathlon next year, I need to be able to swim 8 laps before, you know, I have a problem.
Yeah,
so.
That would get me. I'm not a swimmer, period.
I'm not either, and that's honestly why I'm doing it. I'm doing
Maybe
it because I'm not a swimmer.
Maybe I'll get some water wings and I'll join you out there.
Hey, we can get some. I've thought about it. I've thought about getting a paddle, getting one of the boards, the kickboards, and some flippers, and just go for it. You should. I'm going to do the one I'm doing. It's a sprint. It's in at Lake Wilderness. I think it's on June 1st. It's at Lake Wilderness, which is out in Maple Valley, which is funny enough, is where I grew up. But it's June 1st, and it's the sprint, so it's only a 400-meter. It's like a 400-meter swim. I think it's like a 12 or maybe a 20-mile bike ride. And then it's a 5K run. So it's not anything overly crazy. You know, I don't have any problems with the bike or the run. I'm like, I can handle both of those. You know, it's the swim that I know is going to be – I've never been a strong swimmer. I 20 feet and then I drowned. I mean, I'm strong for about 20 feet and then I drowned. So it's – Yeah, it's a problem. Like I said, I'm a strong swimmer, and Amber even said, I'm a strong swimmer, I just have no endurance. I mean, I have no endurance when it comes to swimming. 20 feet, and I drowned. So, if you want to do it with me, I think there's a couple others. I think Patrick might be coming up to do it, and a few others that have told me that if I end up doing this, they're going to come up and do it with me. So, we can make it so the bees could just take over Maple Valley for the day. So,
sounds like a plan.
Perfect. So I don't think I have anything else. I mean, I always love talking to both of you.
Heck yeah. Yeah, this is great. This is a lot of fun.
Well, if I don't see you guys soon, hopefully I'll see you guys at the Christmas party this year.
Definitely.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Adam, it's on December 1st. I'll be in Vegas for mine and my daughter's birthday.
Wow.
Which is funny because you mentioned your birthday is August 11th, so is my daughter's, but we're celebrating her 21st because she was supposed to have surgery on her a growth behind her ear, and so we're waiting for her to get that done and to recover, so we're like, by pushing it back, it ended up putting it on my birthday, so it's like, okay, we'll just, for my birthday and her birthday, we're going to go get trashed in Vegas, so...
Nice. Well, if you ever want to take me to Vegas for your birthday, for my birthday, that'd be awesome too. So
that would be it's a blast. I
I'm one of those along with us, and you'll get three people with August 11th birthdays.
There you go. Yeah, see, I can only handle Vegas for like 2 days. I'm not one of those. I have so many friends that are like, oh, let's go for a week. And I'm like, after like 2 days, I'm like, my liver can't take anymore, guys.
I've only driven through Vegas. I've never actually stayed there. So.
Yeah, I didn't go for the first time until about 2 years ago. And then every year now, because I do the Vegas Spartan, which isn't in Vegas, but we always end up coming back that Sunday after the sprint and then staying in Vegas for one night and then flying home Monday or Tuesday. So we get like one night in Vegas. And like I said, I'm like, one night's good for me. One night, two nights. I mean, any more than that, my liver is like, I give. It's waving a white flag, like, no more. Come off. So, yeah. All right. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, this has been fun. Thank you for having me.
This has been fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, thanks,
absolutely.
Nick.
Anytime.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.